Lowe's knows that your business is built on speed and trust. That's why the Lowe's Pro Desk is here to get you what you need the moment you need it. We'll help you plan your project, calculate your materials, and pivot when your job takes an unexpected turn. And with our pro-only checkout and dedicated pro parking, you have what you need to tackle your job and be back on the job in no time. Just visit us at the Pro Desk. Lowe's knows pros. We help. You save.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones from the Bobby Bones Show. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now's the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event's going on now, so visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Today's episode, we had live callers call in. We got to help them out on air, but this was after the intro. The intro today was 60 minutes long. In the intro, we talk about fitness, studies, diet. It's a good time. By the way, if you want to be on an episode like this where you can call in, email us at live@mindpumpmedia.com. This episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Organifi. They make organic supplements for health, fitness, and longevity. Today, we talked about their Shilajit gummies. Go try them out. They have tremendous benefits. In today's episode, we talked about their benefits for bone mineral density for women in menopause. Go check them out. Go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 20% off. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Recovery. These friends of ours help people through rehab. In fact, here's what they do. If you go to rockrecoverycenter.com/mindpump, you fill out a form and you get a call with them and they can help you out. By the way, one person will win a 60-day scholarship. Well, they'll get rehab covered by Rock Recovery Center. This is a tremendous value. I think it's like valued at $50,000 or something like that. So if you or a loved one needs help with addiction, go to rockrecoverycenter.com/mindpump. We also have a sale this month. There's only 3 days left for it. MAPS Performance and MAPS Performance Advanced are 50% off. You have 3 days left to take advantage of this. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code March50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. All right, let's talk about the top 10 all-cause mortality risks. In other words, the following things will predict your risk of dying from any cause better than almost anything else. I'll start with the first one. Believe it or not, the number one all-cause mortality risk factor, the one that predicts the best, low education.
What?
Low education.
Over smoking.
Over the rest. We're going to get to all of them.
Okay.
But low,
well, I just have heard smoking.
Now, what's interesting about this, by the way, as we go through these, I think some of these cause it, but others are just predictors. In other words, so I don't think having low education makes you die sooner. I think the fact that you have low education tells a lot about your story.
Downstream effect to that.
Or just it tells a lot about your story. Like if you don't finish high school, because that's what they're talking about.
I see.
Then you're probably in a bad situation across the board.
That makes sense. Is that the correlation here?
Yes.
I mean, it's not like you have very obvious symptoms or anything because you're not the smartest person in the world. You don't put that together. It's not stuff like that. Or you take the wrong medication for something like that. I mean, I would think that would all fall in that.
The whole time, yeah. You don't know any better.
I think this will work. You know?
Yeah. No, it's low education, not low IQ.
Take Robitussin for everything, you know?
Rub it on.
Yeah.
No, it's not low IQ. It's low education. Okay. Intelligence and education are not the same.
So right? Most likely that's pointing to like you're
you don't have access,
you come from a place
care,
and you don't have access to good education,
or so it's not valued, or you went to prison, or you're in a bad situation, right? Think of somebody who doesn't like in modern society, right? You don't finish high school, you're probably life of crime, or probably, right? There's a higher probability of life of crime, drug use, risky behaviors, right? Because remember, risky behaviors are all cause mortality. It's not just cancer, heart disease, heart attack, like all those things will cause you to die, but so can like driving too fast, reckless, overdose on drugs, right? Mm. All the crazy stuff. So this is all cause mortality. I think low education is correlated to all those things. So when you run into somebody who's like, I dropped out, my freshman year in high school, there's probably a lot of other things that go along with that, which is why that's number one.
Probably a lot of stress that comes with that too.
Just so, everything. Yeah. That does. Everything.
Just bad friends.
I would not have guessed that.
Neither would have I.
Yeah. So number two, though, I would have guessed.
Yes, tobacco.
I think I've always heard that as number one.
Yes.
I thought I was under the impression that smoking was the number one reason for that.
Yeah, tobacco is, smoking is really bad for you. It's funny. I used to train a lot of vascular surgeons. And we would get in these conversations. I used to love asking them stuff about their job. And I'd say, one time I asked one of them, then I asked the rest of them because he gave me this answer. I said, what's the number one thing they all have in common? Smoke. He's like, a huge percentage of my patients smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked because I trained three of them, and each one confirmed. Oh, yeah. Huge percentage.
Now, you don't think there's a possibility that we've correlated a massive number of people just because of the era that we kind of grew up in? Because we grew up in the era when it was still cool. When we were kids, it was still cool. Everybody smoked.
Yeah.
And so
even in TV shows and movies, they still do.
Right. Yeah. So when you go back and you do these things where, like, you know, all these people that, you know, died early or whatever also smoked, it's like, well, there's a high probability because all those, I mean, you could say watching television is up there too, because so many people watch television.
Yeah. Right?
But so it's like, how do they?
They've linked it directly. There's so many studies on tobacco use.
And by the way, I'm not saying that because I think it's healthy or I'm defending it whatsoever. But I just, when I hear studies like that, I'm always curious. Yeah. Like, well, of course you could do that when everybody in that generation, like, it'll be interesting to see in, say, 30 years when a whole generation has passed, when it's no longer.
But there's still people that smoke.
Sure. Right? That's so why I think it'll be a better, more accurate number when it's like, now you're not just linking every single person to die that, oh my God, they also smoke cigarettes because that was such a high number.
Yeah, no, but we've got really good data on tobacco use, especially smoking. Yeah. And it increases blood pressure,
everything, basically
all cancer risk.
Yes.
So cancers, got lung cancer, we're all cancer risk.
Diseases.
Yeah. Diabetes, cognitive impairment, you know, Alzheimer's, like you name it, smoking tobacco increases your risk of it. It's such a bad thing for your health.
Yeah.
By the way, this is why the tobacco industry, they were so scared when the government finally came out and talked about these things, because the data was
so massive.
What percentage of people you think smoke to mask stress?
To help with stress?
Yeah, to mask it. I'm stressed out from a rough day at work. Let me smoke some cigarettes. I can't wait to my break. This work sucks. I'm doing today. Let me smoke a cigarette. I just got in a fight with my wife.
Yeah.
So this is where my brain goes with stuff like this. It's like, is it the chicken or the egg in this situation? We know how detrimental stress is to people. And so if you're using a, you know, coping mechanism like smoking cigarettes as your main form to de-stress or to mask that, like, bigger, deeper issue you have going on, I wonder what is worse, the actual tobacco or the actual stress that you're masking and not doing anything about it.
Well, stress is an interesting one because it itself, if it's, not all stress is bad,
combo
right?
Of both.
Yeah. Exercise is stress, right? not all stress is bad. But the kind of stress that you don't manage well leads to lots of unhealthy behaviors, overeating, alcohol use, poor sleep, poor relationships, drug abuse in general, and then, of course, tobacco use. But tobacco use itself, there are, like, it's been so well studied and so well controlled that it's conclusively bad for you. Now, nicotine, this is where people get the mixed message. Nicotine itself isn't really bad for you. There might be a higher risk of certain cancers, but reduced risk of other cancers.
Insanely addictive.
It's just addictive.
Yeah.
But nicotine, they tied it to nicotine because nicotine is what created part of the addictive properties of tobacco. Not all of it, by the way. There's also the behavior of the smoking.
Yeah.
But nicotine itself is not the problem. It's the tobacco that's the problem.
I don't understand how come sleep didn't make this list.
Poor sleep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a top 10.
I know. That's why I think it's, how did it not make top 10?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you think that?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that over some of these, at least for sure.
Well, number three is this one we've talked about all the time.
This we've talked about.
Weak grip strength, which is just a proxy for overall weakness, right?
Yeah. You're just frail at this point.
Yeah. When you're just weak, when you're in that bottom, you know, quintile of percentage of people strength wise, this outranked ones that people would think should outrank it, like obesity and diabetes and stuff like that, right? Weakness, just being frail, really, I mean, it's right under tobacco. That's how bad it is to simply not be strong.
All your behaviors adjust to, you know, accommodate the fact that you can't, you don't have strength, you know, and you don't have the ability a lot of times. And so it's just, it's, again, you sort of create these bad habits like everywhere else because of the fact that you're lacking strength.
Well, it outranked the next one, which is poor diet.
Yeah,
in other words,
that's wild when you think about it.
Yes.
In other words, you're better off eating McDonald's every single day so long as you're strength training and staying strong.
Then you are being weak and eating
yes.
a super healthy diet.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy when you think about
this
it.
Is good.
Put it in perspective.
Personally, I think this is good news because as a trainer, we know the answer to this, but I'll ask anyway. What's harder to get somebody to change? Become consistent with exercise or fix their diet?
Oh, diet's harder.
Diet's way harder.
Yeah, way harder.
And yet people are like, oh, it's got, you know, if I'm not going to fix my diet.
It's okay if you could just, which by the way, is the opposite of how I thought as a young trainer.
Yes.
It's just different. Like, I think I remember getting frustrated with clients that I couldn't get to adhere to the diet. And, you know, young, naive me should have actually looked at this as such a massive win. Like, look at, I'm already combating the number three reason why people die is like they're strength training at them. And like knowing how to communicate that to your clients, like, hey, it's okay. Listen, we're going to get better at this diet. Mm-hmm. I know it's not perfect. I know you didn't hit it right, but it's okay. The fact that you're showing up to the gym and you have no idea how much better you are right now just for simply doing that.
That's
and we'll figure this diet thing out.
That's right. So, and it's funny because diet gets all the publicity and all the media. I think because diet is largely what makes you overweight, but weakness is higher than poor diet and higher than obesity. So, I mean, if people just strength train a couple days a week, you know, that would be significant.
It's so protective.
It is super protective. All right. So under poor diet, hypertension, high blood pressure. This is one of the few things where there are things that modern medicine has done a pretty good job of, I wouldn't say solving, but, you know, kind of
mitigating. Well, didn't they call us the silent killer?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't this go hand in hand with the diet too also though?
This goes hand in hand with all of them. But my point with this is, let's say you have hypertension because of poor diet, you don't exercise, whatever. Just lowering your blood pressure with medication isn't the perfect solution, but it actually helps a lot.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah, if you have high blood pressure and you're not willing to lower it through the work, blood pressure medication is a must. Because it's that bad for you just by itself. So high blood pressure, that's a big one. By the way, there's a lot of, bodybuilders and stuff don't even know they have
hypertension. That's the thing. That's why a lot of people don't realize they have high blood pressure and until you actually test it. And then it's like, and so it sneaks up on you and it's really damaging.
You had it at one point because you had the
yes.
We're overproducing adrenal hormones and stuff.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to absorb any potassium and because of this tumor that had grown over the top of my adrenal gland. So yeah, it was like I was getting crazy, like blood pressure swings and like super high in the morning.
That's when you worked for me, right?
Uh-huh.
When you were doing the drinks and we thought,
it was the drinks, but it was like the tumor. I was like blaming it all poor Adam. Yeah. This guy's trying to kill me.
My boss is dead.
Number one in the company.
You got a trophy though, bro.
Yeah. It was brutal, dude. I had like migraines and there's a lot of downstream effects of it. But
how high did your blood pressure get? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, it was really high. I don't remember the actual toll, but it was well over 180.
Yeah.
Did it completely alleviate it once you had the surgery? Once you did the surgery and did it,
it took like a couple weeks, and then it started like slowly kind of coming back to normal. But yeah, it totally regulated. I'm like, I don't feel any effects.
That's crazy. Yeah. My blood pressure is always really good, but there was one time it was high because I don't remember who I was arguing with. I was really mad. And then I went in to get my blood pressure test and they're like, oh, it's really high. And I was so confused.
That or
like,
if you're anxious. Yeah.
I'm pissed. I'm really pissed off. Dude. So that's another thing too, right? Next up, household air pollution.
This is interesting.
Trip off that.
What?
Yes.
In particular, household air pollution.
That's right.
Air pollution in general, household air pollution.
Yeah.
What pollution? Like what specifically?
Oh, chemicals, mold, plastic.
You know what was a big one for me that like I'm guilty of, I was bad with this for a long time. It's like, dude, I used to love like Glade plugins. Throughout my house.
You were bathing in it.
Yes. Like, I mean, this has been a long time, right? But when I remember getting my place when I was in my early 20s.
Were you such a girl sometimes?
I wanted my house to smell hella clean. So I love that smell, but never once I'm like, hey, I'm just breathing in all these fucking artificial chemicals. Because I know. Certainly that thing doesn't have watermelons in it, so there's no way that it could produce that watermelon.
Is that the smell you got?
I did everything. I've had all the smells that, you know. But I mean, so, I mean, that's, I gotta imagine that's not good. That's gotta be, I mean, Glade's a massive, how big of a company is Glade? It's gotta be, and there's, what's the other one too? There's Glade and then the, what's the other big one that there's like two big competitors? No,
Johnson & Johnson makes
is it? Right? They probably Febreze. They probably own them both. They
probably own them, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious what that market,
bro, that is just pure.
How big is that market?
It's huge. He's gonna find out. Yeah. That is pure xenoestrogens. You are just constantly ingesting breathing it. In.
Yeah.
Chemicals that affect your body in a hormone.
And you're level. And you're also like you're heating them up through the plug six? And you're that's cooking them and just breathing them out.
Oh, yeah. The candles too. Yeah. Candles are like that. You like, you know, girls.
Some
like
are okay though, right? Some candles are okay.
Few.
Yeah.
Few of them are okay. They all increase heavy fragrance.
Yeah, let's hear it, Doug. How crazy is it?
Yeah. So it's around $15.75 billion in 2024.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, crazy.
See, I wonder why people don't know more about how bad they are for you. That's crazy. Doug, look up household air pollution. What makes up household air pollution? I'm actually curious.
I mean, that's got to be up there, right?
Yeah, like what's the highest
I don't
offender,
know if they even count that. I don't even know if they count that in household
air pollution. How could they not count that?
Well, because I think they're counting other things. I don't think they're looking at...
Like mold?
Yeah.
So mold, the market is.
Mold dust. Would be up there.
Well, I mean, if you were a kid in the 80s, you guys remember going over people's houses that smoked?
Oh my God, yeah.
That was everywhere.
Oh, I wonder if that, does that count? That might count.
Secondhand smoke? That's a good question. What's in there?
Building materials, household cleaners, biological pollutants, such as dust mites and
pet household cleaners is going up.
By the way, this is a relatively easy fix. You get an air purifier in each of your rooms, or and that takes care of a lot of it.
Yeah,
we have them running all the time.
Yeah. I only have one big one in my room.
Mm.
Yeah,
I put them in each bedroom.
Try to save me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next up, diabetes. So that one's an obvious one, right? But you know what's crazy about this? Diabetes is below all those other ones. I would have thought diabetes would have been a bigger all-cause mortality risk factor, but it's lower than household air pollution, lower than low education. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
But it's still a
This is an actual medical condition. Yes. You know, it's not like an environmental toxin or something.
I mean, so far for me, the low education and household pollution blew me away. Like, if you made me make this list of 10, I might have, you know, stumbled my way to most of these. I would not have put low education there, and I would not have thought household. I mean, that household air pollution at number six to me is wild that that's not discussed more. Like, and you got to think those household chemicals, like if it's a $15.7 billion industry.
Yeah,
like,
you want me to scare you guys real quick? So, you know, when you buy new clothing and you get it in the mail, wash it before you wear it.
Yeah.
Because the textile, like microplastics
to it.
Yeah. Ugh. Wash it real quick, especially before you put it on your kids.
It's like that film that's on
Katrina's really good about that.
Yeah.
Receipts.
Yeah. I never did. I always put it right on, right on my body.
Yeah.
Underneath diabetes is abdominal obesity. Notice how specific this is. Not obesity, but visceral body fat or body fat in the abdominal region. This is a predictor of all cars mortality, much more than just obesity.
Now, is that because this also alludes to probably like hormonal stuff that's going on?
Inflammation.
Yeah.
It connects. It's a stronger, more strongly connected to heart disease, more strongly connected to diabetes, that particular type of body fat. In fact, there was a study I brought up a long time ago on the podcast, and it just came up in my feed recently, that women who store body fat, particularly in their lower body, are much healthier than women who store body fat in other parts of the body, and they find higher children with higher intelligence, and they think it has to do with the omega-3 fatty acid concentration in the lower body fat, lower body position body fat, I should say. Next up, depression. This one makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think depression, a lot of unhealthy things cause depression. And I also think depression causes a lot of unhealthy things.
Right.
This is a negative feedback loop, meaning
negative feedback. Yeah.
You don't exercise, you don't eat right, you got, you know, bad lifestyle.
Spiral effect.
You're depressed, which then continues to
makes everything
encourage
bad.
You to engage.
Makes everything bad.
Yeah.
When you're depressed, it makes everything that's going on in your life, but you see it through a different lens than you know, somebody who's not depressed. This one doesn't surprise me that it's up there.
Yeah.
I would have guessed that.
And then last, low physical activity, just not being active, not moving, which is most people. This that last one right there, I would say, what percentage of Americans you say would be considered low physical activity?
Oh well, God, this is right. why we said if you literally strength train once every 2 weeks and you walked every day 10,000 steps, you would probably
Oh, yeah. You
be ahead of 90%, 95% right. of the population as far as overall health.
That's right.
Like, that's crazy to think that. It's like, just walk 10,000 steps a day mm-hmm. and try and get a workout in once a week if you can. If you mm-hmm. can, but at least don't let 2 weeks go by without getting a lift in. Mm-hmm. And you are going to go really far right there. That's right. That's crazy.
I know. Speaking of activity, I got a cool study on trigger sessions, right? Yeah. I don't know if they call them exercise.
Did you guys, before you move on from this list, because this is so interesting to me, mm-hmm. were there not other ones that you thought might have made this list? I would have thought.
Well, yeah, sleep, like you said.
Yeah, I would have thought sleep.
Yeah.
I would have thought, how about an unhealthy marriage? An unhappy marriage.
Relationships. Mm.
That could be just a killer.
You know why? I wonder if that's just hard to it's measure? Hard to put. Yeah. You know, it's hard to put in a stat.
It's all like self-reported. Yeah. Like.
And also like how good a data do we have on that? Like, you know,
we have the data on how important relationships are.
Yeah.
And so if you're in and how many people stay in unhappy marriages,
yeah,
that's gotta be a killer.
Yep. Men who don't get married, their risk of all cause mortality goes to the roof. Like men do way better when they're married for their health.
Yeah.
And I think let me ask you guys, why do you guys think that is for men particularly? Because for women, it's a bit mixed for longevity. I'm not talking about satisfaction with life and all that stuff, just longevity in particular. Men live longer when they're married, specifically. Why do you think that is?
Well, yeah, I think, a lot of it too is getting checkups and like yeah, the doctor. Dude,
totally.
You know, like you wouldn't do it. Like men are just like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. I'm going to barrel through it. Like, you need that person that, like vouching
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It's keeping like, you accountable.
You need to go check that out. Get that checked out.
I'm like that. I know that. You know, like I need that.
I know. We were just talking about this the other day. Weren't we all supposed to get colonoscopies?
It was me the other day who found out about his sinus infection. The only reason why I did was because I could call virtually.
Yeah, otherwise.
I would not have gone in. I would have just toughed it out. Yeah. I'd be like, this shit will go. Some Tussin.
Yeah.
Just have some Robitussin. I'll be all right.
That one bump, you know, it's like, that's looking a little weird. Yeah, you just keep trying to squeeze it.
Cut it off yourself.
She's like, yeah, get that removed. Yeah. Like, freaking out. Yeah. You know? I'm like,
but no, we were just talking about this. Aren't you supposed to get a colonoscopy when you're 40? Right?
Isn't that I thought it was 50.
I mean, they.
When are you supposed to
push it back?
They've been
looking
at
it.
I'll
look
it up. Trying to get
look it up right now.
Yeah, that's the 60-year-old. He should know.
Thanks,
Dex already had two.
Nobody's
he's always looking for reasons.
Yeah, two this week.
Yeah. Just get shot. No, I think you're supposed to.
I thought it was 50. I always thought it was 50.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 40.
I'm pretty sure it's 50.
Yeah.
I know. I hope it's 50.
It's been promoted to me a few times. I don't know. Like, I'm like, I already got my prostate shot.
45.
Oh,
every 10 years.
So, wait, 45 and then every 10 years after that?
Yeah. Oh, so it's 45.
Dang.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so you've done three, Doug?
Hitting me up.
No.
Yeah. So they do this new test, by the way, where I think it's a stool test. So before you go in for the invasive colonoscopy, there's a stool test. They test for something that if you have it, then they'll go do a colonoscopy.
That's what it is.
But what sucks about it is that it can often, I think 25 or 30% of the time, I might be misquoting.
You miss it.
That it's a miss, it's a false positive.
Dead bacteria, yes.
It's a false positive. So I have a family member who got this positive and they were freaking out because it's a 70% that's actually accurate. I'm like, man, this is messed up. Now you're all stressed out and you know, it turned out it wasn't. It wasn't, but yeah, anyway. All right, so let's talk about trigger sessions. Can exercise snacks, I hate that they try to rename it. It's a trigger session, everybody. Yeah. Can they boost cognitive function in older adults?
Yes.
Yes, new data shows that they're positively associated with cognitive function and more strongly linked to cognitive function than total daily physical activity. In other words,
whoa, interesting. Okay, so in other words, if
a little bit all day is better than a lot once.
Yeah, even if time was the same,
that's
time
right.
And intensity and volume was the same, you're still better off breaking up these little micro.
That's
workouts.
Right. So 10 3-minute walks.
We've alluded to this already.
Yes,
we've talked about this. I mean, and you've talked about your all day workouts before. You know, there's something if you could technically break. It's funny that we've all agreed. Because this is what fits our, you know, our lifestyles. These 1 hour workouts on lunch or after work.
We schedule it.
Yeah, that we schedule this 1 hour block. When in reality, we should have been promoting all along 15-minute micro workouts throughout the day.
That's right.
It would be far more beneficial. Results would be better cognitively, physically. I mean, you would get so.
Telling the average person to schedule 30-minute workout versus doing 3 10-minute workouts or a 30-minute walk versus 3 10-minute walks. three 10-minute walks are also easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've done this with clients. It's harder for them to schedule out 30 minutes than it is for them to do 10 minutes three times a day.
Yeah.
So it's actually easier to be consistent. And with the cognitive effects, like talk about boosting productivity.
Yeah.
So taking 30 minutes out of your day to exercise will also boost productivity. But three 10-minute activity, you know, dose of activity will give you even more productivity. In other words, you want to do better at your job. You want to do better with your kids. You want to do better with whatever. These little exercise bouts throughout the day are the best way to do it.
Which is basically three sets of something.
Yeah.
Three sets of something. That's a better way to position it. I feel like the time thing, people hear time and they go, oh, I don't know if I could break up three. I think if I told somebody, it'd be fun to write a program like this where it's like, it's three exercises, three times a day, three sets.
Yeah.
So it's like, and that's like, and you do that 5 days a week.
With bands or body weight.
Yeah.
Body weight squats, push-ups,
yeah, yeah. Here's your ideal. Get a hold of some barbells and dumbbells. If not, then here's your bands. If you can't get hold of bands, and worst case, here's your body weight. So you have like three alternatives. Yeah. It's like, and you just break that up, and, yep, and it's three set. Three sets is like, that's nothing.
Nope.
Get down and do three sets real quick.
It's funny to me to think like how averse like these nerds are to, you know, working out and moving when it's like it benefits so much of your cognitive ability. It's just like, it's funny. It's like you'd rather do the biohacking, like nootropics and do all these like chemicals and pills and things. And it's like, this would be so much more effective. It'd be so much more productive.
Yeah. There is no nootropic.
The physical part of it's like,
100%. There's no nootropic better than what we just said. Like,
yeah.
A 5 minute of body weight something is better than the latest and greatest, I don't know,
yeah,
racetam chemical or whatever that you're gonna take.
Exactly.
Period, end of story.
Yeah.
For your brain, for your body, and for your productivity. Wild.
Come on, nerds.
Love it.
That Let's go.
Funny. All right, we got to talk about the pyramids.
Oh, what's going on? We all saw this.
So yes. I sent this to Justin last week.
So it was last week.
I thought it out. All
I thought this actually just came about like 2 days ago. It just came across my Instagram feed 2 days ago, and I thought, oh my god, I actually thought I sent it to Justin. I looked back and I was like, I don't know who I sent it to. I thought I'm some other random person who I thought I was talking to Justin.
So this is gonna be fun, dude, to talk about because this is wild. So the researchers, they're doing these briefings and they're very confident in their findings, and they're using a technology that is able to peer through the bedrock and use AI technology to sift through the data to show what's happened.
Hold on. Let's think about that for a second. How crazy is that? What if you're standing there and they're scanning? Like, what does that do to you? I just thought of that. I was like, that's like really deep.
Well,
like,
what's crazy, this is what's so wild about
bedrock.
So first off, the pyramids themselves, this everybody knows, is a giant mystery. How the hell did they build the pyramids? The blocks are massive.
And why were they built like that in the position that they were built?
And they're cut
nothing else.
They're cut so precisely. Where they got the stone is so far away. How did they get it there?
Yeah.
Then it lines up with like a certain mathematical formulas. Like there's, and I don't know all of the details, but if you dig into it, it's like they lined them up perfectly.
Eight cylinders that go all the way down, like four times the height of the actual pyramid.
Yes. So the pyramid itself is a mystery. We still argue over that. Was it aliens? Like, how do they even do this? Do they have the technology? Even modern technology would be difficult to cut these stones out, transport them, and place them on top of each other, right?
Yeah.
Now we found these columns that go straight down into
it's
bedrock.
It's even more impossible to figure out like how they constructed this.
It's bedrock, 2 kilometers down.
That's wild.
So there's 8 columns, is it?
Weren't they like perfect?
Perfect with
spiraling like coils, you know,
either
going
staircases
down
or something that go around each of them.
Yeah.
And they reach down to these huge, two massive,
huge cube like blocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's in the bedrock 2 kilometers down. It's, so to put it in perspective, modern technology machinery today would struggle to dig,
drill
that and create that.
That's why it's bedrock. I seriously, I've been watching every video I can to try and break this down and make sense of it to me. Yeah. And it's still like,
now,
so mind-boggling.
Is it more realistic that it was actually built above ground and that the flood caused this coverage?
The bedrock?
I mean, would that, could, if you,
no, it was dug into the bedrock.
No. Yeah. They couldn't get that deep.
So that's not feasible that it could have been on top and then like a great flood or something could have caused a coverage of something like that.
No, I don't think so. It's definitely was dug and bored down. And
that's
created.
Really wild then.
But what's crazy about, okay, so how did this happen? Because, you know,
well, yeah,
just the pyramids themselves, everybody's like, how did they do it? Some people like aliens or whatever. Yeah, speculation. Like what? Well, and, oh, and by the way, some people are saying Tesla talked about these being like being able to harness the energy of the earth.
Well, there's a theory. I don't know whose theory it is, but it looks so much more like the power plant theory.
Yeah.
Which, because they have the vents and, you know, it's just, they're trying to kind of pin together some of their mythology where their spirit would leave to these different like types of constellations. And like they had, you know, it was all part of their kind of religious element. And like they're trying to make it like it's this tomb. And it's like, dude, there's no way this thing's a tomb now. Like it's you can't, like, why would they go to those depths and why would they go to this amount of work to just like encapsulate them? Like, but it looks so much like machinery, like some kind of
power plant. With no electricity, no power tools, no, they're not even using, I don't even think they're not using steel. No. How did they do this?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. Who knows what that's actually, what materials are down, you know, in those columns. What's that? What are they made of? They don't know that yet.
Oh,
so we know, because it could be some kind of metal.
And so like, are we not going to dig it up? How are we not going to dig that up?
Because the Egyptologists,
you would destroy the
they're very protective. I mean, you can't get anything done there. Yeah. It's like, and already I think somebody said that I forget his name, Ari Hawass, the main like curator of a lot of things in Egypt. He's like, he hates Grant Hancock. I think they're okay now, but like, you know, anybody that has like some kind of different interpretation of history, you know, compared to like the standard timeline they created, he's like, no. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to go a lot of like,
I love the conspiracy theories that say it's aliens. And then I have my own too, because it's funny. I was talking to my friends about this. And I'm like, you know, because now I'm reading the Old Testament, right? And there was a couple things in the Old Testament that tripped me out. One of them was how when Moses was trying to talk to the Pharaoh about releasing the Jews, he would perform these, like, he would show him, like, you know, God is working with me. Yeah. And there's one story where he like throws his king down and turns into a snake.
Yeah.
Well, the Egyptian Pharaoh had his own magicians that threw their kings that also turned into snakes. Now Moses' snake ate theirs,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they also turned water into blood. They also performed their own miracles. It just was that Moses was, his God was much more powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, are they magicians?
Are they working with demons? Like, how are they able to perform? So I was telling my friend, I'm like, it's demon technology. He's like, that's the Christian version of aliens. Yeah, it is. I'm like, I guess you're right, dude.
That is, yeah, that got rebranded a while ago.
Yeah, oh, dude, man. This all happened. Oh, it's so wild.
That is wild.
I wish they were just
now,
digging there.
Now, yeah, so do I, because it's like, how accurate is this thing that reads through bedrock?
That's too. What some people are talking
is it
about.
Is it as accurate as our carbon dating? If it is.
No. Look what it's uncovered in elsewhere around the world, and then you'll see, because it's like, it goes through really thick forest. It goes through like all kinds of layers in the ground, and they've found already like whole cities, like Aztec cities, and they found like all these structures because of that technology.
Is it the
they
same
wouldn't
technology?
Have found already. It's the same.
Oh, well, I thought it was different.
LIDAR, yeah, this one is like a satellite ground penetrating radar.
And they're using AI, it said. To
interpret the shapes and the discrepancies.
Weird.
But I mean, yeah, there's speculation there for sure, but it like looks very similar to like how they found all these other like crazy monumental structures. So I mean, it's, there's something there.
And dude, wasn't there like an old myth about that, something that connected to this, like that they're like their spirit world or something?
Yeah, I have to look more into that. Like, I don't know much about that. Yeah. Because dude, well, so the vents too and the inside of it, they didn't even know those were there, and they looked just like the Great Pyramid. So this isn't the Great Pyramid, this is the middle one in Giza. And so they didn't know those were there. And it shows it in the...
Oh, so this is only under one, but not the other ones.
I don't think they looked at the other ones.
This is the middle one.
Did they look at the other ones too?
I don't know.
Why would they not?
Why would they not?
Yeah, well, you do one, but not the other ones?
That's so the, only the middle one has
it's
it.
It's only the middle one that they found so far, yeah.
Which, that's weird.
And Doug, maybe look up Tesla speculation on the pyramids. I think Tesla himself said that that this is a way to harness.
I feel like it promotes his theory, because you've seen like how he captures energy in like in his Tesla coil, and it, mm-hmm. you know, and then you see all of the obelisks and how that can actually like capture a lot of the electricity.
Did he not say it inspired him to with what he did?
I don't know.
I thought I'd seen that before too.
I don't know. What does it say there?
Yeah, he thought the pyramid could actually create this massive energy field that could light up whole cities or even brighten up dark places. Oh. So, giant power plant, basically.
Mm. I think PG&E is preventing. Well,
I mean, then there's the next question. Then PG&E is let's say it is this crazy power plant. Well, then how did it disperse the energy out from that? Like,
you're asking Justin and me that question? I don't know.
No, I know, but I mean,
no, that's the Tesla coil thing, right? Yeah. Like he had that experiment where he had like light bulbs because it was like distributing through the ground. They were able to actually
screw into the
tap
ground.
Into it.
Oh, so you think maybe it like travels through the underground?
Yeah, there's there's like a square footage that it can reach, you know, as it emits this energy. Yeah.
What if that whole thing, and it's the middle one that was just enough to emit enough energy for the three pyramids?
Yeah, look at all the obelisks, you know, all around the area that could capture that. You know, and like who knows what they're powering?
That's crazy. That's so wild.
There's no tool that can explain, you know, how they built.
So this just came last week.
Yeah,
last week. Okay, yeah. I just saw it like,
and it's going crazy.
Oh yeah, I mean, came across my. I don't even follow that shit. Yeah. That's what I know. That's what I know. It's crazy is when I see it. I'm like, I don't even follow this stuff. Yeah. I'm like, this is.
I keep waiting for Graham Hancock to do something to explain to it for me because I'm just like I can't even put it together.
Yeah, yet. It could also be that it was there before the pyramid. They built the pyramid on top of it. Right, there's a theory about the Sphinx.
I think it was so much older, even that the pyramids, the same thing. Like
they just showed up.
They were there before the Egyptians got there, and then they wrapped a lot of the religion around these because they're so significant.
Interesting. All right, I got a study. I'm going to take a left here on Shilajit that was shared to me by our assistant Jackie. So Shilajit in this study has been shown to reduce oxidative stress, inflammation, and bone loss. So it preserves bone mineral density in postmenopausal women with osteopenia. This is a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. Yeah, dude.
Now, independently, it's that effective or in conjunction with something, right?
No. So 60 postmenopausal women aged 45 to 65 with osteopenia were randomized to receive one of three treatments daily for 48 weeks. So it's 250 milligrams of Shilajit or 500 milligrams of Shilajit. Bone mineral density on the lumbar spine and femoral neck were measured at week 0, 24, and 48. And what it showed was that there's a dose-dependent effect. In other words, the higher dose actually did a better job than the lower dose.
Huh.
So it helps. So the conclusion is daily supplementation with the Shilajit extract supports bone mineral density in postmenopausal women with osteopenia. Interesting, right? That's cool. In part by attenuating the increased bone turnover, inflammation and oxidative stress that coincides with estrogen deficiency. So it's pretty cool. So Shilajit is really, I mean, there were lots of studies on it to begin with, but good for bone loss. So for women, this could be a good supplement.
Is that a relatively new study?
Let me see when this happened because
you've known about that for a long time. I remember when we first heard Organifi was doing it.
2022, so relatively new.
Oh yeah, that is new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is so new. Really cool. So Shilajit, good supplement. And I know Organifi, they keep saying this is their top seller. Yeah.
Has it become their top seller?
Yeah.
In past
green juice? Yeah, he says it just does really well.
Wow.
Yeah. And you want to know what's funny? Huh. Of all the, so we work with a lot of partners, and what we do with some of these partners is they'll clip what one of us says on the podcast when we're mentioning them, and they'll use that as an ad. Okay, so a lot of our partners do this. Of all the ads that go out, this is the number one that I get asked about is Shilajit.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I don't know I think it may be because there's other people talking about it or because it sounds exotic. I don't know. But people always come up to me and ask
me. Yeah, I think it's just people are unaware completely. And it just kind of came
That's the ones that ask me, because I do get asked about it too. I think you're just like, what is that?
Yeah, I think that's
what it is. Curiosity is high. Is it as amazing as what you guys talk about? I'm like, what are you talking about? And then they'll send me over the clip that you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, okay.
But it's an easy supplement to take. You know, if you do the gummies, you take a few of those a day. What's the dose? Actually, Doug, can you grab that bag right there? What's the serving size and how much Shilajit is in it?
We do two of them. Yeah, I do two
a day.
And how much Primavi Shilajit is in that?
250 milligrams.
There you go. Yeah. So two a day or four a day? Four a day was the top dose in the study. Two a day is what's typically recommended.
Yeah, once or twice daily.
And Primavi is their source of Shilajit. The thing with Shilajit, I talked about this on a previous episode, is there's a lot of fakes out there or lab-made. Not the same.
Yeah.
This is the Shilajit. Like Prima V is like the best source you can find that's consistent.
I feel like that's the biggest game right now for the consumer to understand in the supplement world. I mean, this is like every, like almost every partner we have that we talk about that we like, there is a well-known competitor who is just like bullshit sourcing. Mm-hmm. Everything from red light stuff that we've talked about to Shilajit to all these types of supplements. Yep. You get a lot of these because it gets so popular, everybody's getting it. And then the margins are just okay on it. People find clever ways to either, you know, cut it to where it's not as good, and they can sell it for the same price or double, or they're boosting, they're adding something to it that's really worthless, doesn't even need to be in there. Yeah, just so they can say their product.
Speaking of influence, like media and stuff like that, have you guys heard about what's happening with like food stamp, the controversy around it, how they're trying to eliminate the ability for people who use food stamps to spend it on processed junk foods, in particular like soda?
I have heard a little bit. I don't know where they're at with that. Yeah.
So because the data shows that people who use food stamps or use SNAP benefits will consume way more of these types of foods like soda than other people. So that's a population of high consumers of these kind of products, and that is very closely related to poor health, right? So it's just not a good idea. So the debate is, should we make it so they have to buy healthier food?
Well, it's also a complete waste of it's empty calories.
Yeah.
So if you were like, I remember this again, not to throw my family under the bus, but I remember helping my mom out, you know, financially when I was in my early 20s, and then coming home and seeing I just paid the bills, right? Yeah. Just caught up or whatever like that to help them out. And then I come back and then there's like cases of sodas and bags of chips and cereal. Those three things are so expensive. Box name brand cereal, chips and soda are like, when you look at what you get for the dollar amount, it's junk. And it's like, man, if you're in a place in your life where you have to have food stamps to get by, okay, buying stuff like that is like you're doing a disservice to your kids and your family.
It's unhealthy and it's actually more expensive.
Yes.
But you know,
so you're using up that the amount that it's worth that you could have got chicken and steak and rice.
Yeah,
and
look at the data. 20% of all SNAP dollars. Of all SNAP dollars are used to purchase soda, candy, desserts, and junk food.
See, that's whack, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you want to know what's crazy?
What?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say, maybe you can confirm this, Doug, it's one of the government, what are they called? Like bureaucracies or whatever. I think it's the American Heart Association, it might have been. Look this up. They went to Congress and tried to oppose this. They tried to oppose a bill that will limit this. Okay. So
of course,
make that make sense. So yeah,
it makes sense when big food is in the pockets of government because they're the one donating the big money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So Doug, put SNAP junk food, take off dollars. No. Yeah. Just put that. I think it's the American Heart Association or one of those. So remember, this is an association.
It's a branch about health and trying to educate people. Like that seems like a conflict of interest.
Yeah, Doug, put down. You just get rid of SNAP dollars, all that stuff. But just put what agency against SNAP junk food. I can't remember which one. I want to say American Heart Association. I actually went to Congress and testified. No, you guys, we should not block this. We should not block. Now, you want to know why?
Yeah, what's the justification?
They receive a massive amount of funding.
Of course.
From the companies that produce this junk food.
Of course, yeah.
So you would think, who are these health agencies that, why would they even, why are they against?
It's like the Congress people are mad at Doge right now. The same thing. You know, it's just, you know, shining a light on the scam.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But it's because they get so much funding.
Yeah.
From these companies that, it is. Okay. It is the American Heart Association.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dirty, dude.
What?
What a shame.
Why?
Because they get funded. Shameful. They get funded by these companies that produce all this junk food, which is pretty wild. So here's how crazy it is, you guys. Ready for this? So influencers. So I just saved this. Influencers all over social media, because now that's what they do, right? They use social media. So you've got these big influencers who now are posting and trying to criticize the administration for blocking Snap from buying junk food. And you know what they're doing? They're all doing the same cut and paste post. Uh-huh. So that's how we're catching them. All these influencers do these posts. And you know what they're doing? They're showing President Trump drinking Diet Coke. Like, oh, how dare he? He's drinking Diet Coke as a way to like, as a way to justify.
Yeah.
But they're all doing the exact same posts to oppose this. That's how powerful these companies are. It's so wild.
So do you think
it's so not, much propaganda?
So it's ridiculous. You think it's not going to pass?
I don't know. I hope it. Yeah.
I hope it does too. I think that's. I mean, the fact that 20%, almost a quarter of that.
Goes
money
to total to garbage
goes
food.
To nothing but ice we're hurting cream, candy, people. Soda, chips. That's terrible. Yeah.
We're hurting people.
Yes,
I know.
And what
it'd be a hard transition, but it benefits their health. So it's like it's a tough like pill to
and
swallow.
And there's only there's
well, you
only,
still buy
when
food
you, when you get when you
I
get,
know
when
it's
you
I
get
mean
those,
like they have to change their behaviors. It's
when you
forced.
Get those food stamps too, they're valued at a certain dollar amount yeah. too. And so you could just get so much more. Rice and steak and chicken and beans and things that your kids and family needs for sure. survival that are far more valuable nutritionally than wasting a percentage of that on sodas and candy. And I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, look at that. They retracted their opposition because they got blasted. That's why they got hammered for opposing it. So they retracted their opposition. Good. I don't trust any of these agencies.
Wow, that's this is all. Way, this is March 20th. This was
this
just
has
a few
been
days
the
ago.
Year of revealing all of that.
I know.
It's like hard evidence now. You
I know
what we all knew anyway.
It's crazy. All right, so I got some stats for you guys. We're going to talk about our friends at Rock Recovery. They do rehab and they sponsor mm-hmm. they sponsor a listener or a family member listener to go over and get rehab for for alcohol, drug addiction, whatever. In fact, they sent us a crazy video of a woman.
Yeah.
Who
what a crazy that. Story, huh?
Yeah.
Crazy
that
story.
That she was literally, 2 miles from them?
Mm-hmm.
She hurt. She listened, major listener of the show, has a son, I believe. That was
that
going through
help.
It, that she was struggling with. And she thought, you know what? I'm going to just look into these people. She was already committed. Like she was going to fly to, she thought it would be over here in California. And then pulled up Real Rock and find out 2 miles from her house. What are the chances of that?
Crazy. Chances. So
she literally went down there, right? Was knocking on the door.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're sponsoring her son and helping him out, which is really cool. And we're getting updates. So I have without getting too much detail, because I don't know if this person wants to me to talk about, but somebody I know, someone close who just overdosed on fentanyl. They didn't die, but they did OD. Wow. And you keep hearing about this, right? So I brought up stats on fentanyl that are just,
oh wow,
bro, this is a scary situation.
Well, it's one of the drug overdoses, fentanyl in particular, and OxyContin and all your opiates are up there with one of the number one causes of death, bro.
It's okay. So
it's up. It's
in 2021, 107,000 Americans died of overdoses, the highest total ever recorded.
Crazy.
71,000 of those, so of just overdoses, 71,000 of them were synthetic opioids. So out of the 107,000 of Americans who died of overdoses, the vast majority were fentanyl and opiates.
You know the saddest part about this, Sal? And this is not to devalue or speak that like some of these other tragic things that we've seen happen where there's shootings or major issues where we lose, hundreds of people with that. But it's crazy to me that there's certain things that make the news, that go viral, that we're all arguing and debating about is how, and we're just so, and then you have something like this quietly going on behind the scenes, just death after death after death of something that can be controlled. It's something that we allow to allow in here and allow to happen, and just kind of we turn a blind eye to it and we focus on all these other tragic things that are also happening in our society. But when you think about how many people that's claiming, it pales into comparison of any of these other tragic things that we make a big deal about. We make big deals about these things where we lose 10 or 15 people or whatever that and we make it all political and it turns into this left-right thing and it's this all. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of people are dying from this.
So and I didn't know this. I knew fentanyl was really powerful synthetic opioid, but it's 50 to 100 times stronger than heroin. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy how powerful it is. And it's exploding. I'm looking at the data here.
Well, that's the reason, right? Because what's happening is that you have these people that are addicted to opiates, and so you need a fraction of the amount of the fentanyl.
It's basically they're either they stopped for a while, went back, and didn't know the right dose.
Yeah.
or they didn't know it had fentanyl. They thought it was their typical whatever, mm-hmm. and it was so strong that it killed them.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, scary. And then you know you hear stories about kids that they're at a party and they're trying to, you know, they're taking a pill,
yeah,
thinking they're gonna, you know, oh, we're gonna have a good time,
yeah.
And they're, you know, high school kids that are dying. I know there was one nearby. That I
know
about.
Be real careful anymore. There's got to be some kind of test that, you know, how they used to have like something you put in your drink too
to
like
see if it was,
yeah, mm-hmm. what's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to start promoting something like
that's really,
I have
really
a little
crazy.
Bit of a PSA to kind of bring up too, which was like, it's related. I told you guys about my friend who's, you know, he just had a stroke and he's my age and he's a big guy. And it was totally a freak thing that happened. And he's been having to do all this testing, and I feel bad for him because, like, he's such a big guy that, like, they don't have normal MRIs that you can just do.
Oh, that's true.
And so he actually, wow. dude, and thankfully he has a good sense of humor, so I was, like, waiting till, like, he wasn't as scared, you know, to, like, start, you know.
Bringing the fat jokes out?
Jabbing a little bit.
But it's dick. He's like, is it too early for this?
I'm like, oh, so what do you mean? So basically his option down, you know, towards San Luis Obispo was to go to a zoo, and I was...
No way, bro.
I swear to God.
No way.
I swear to God.
Oh my God. I'll never let our friend live that down.
Yes, I know. I was like, so how was the, you know, how long do you have to wait, you know, behind the baboons and the hippos?
Behind the
anyways.
So oh my God.
I was like, I don't know if I should send it. I didn't.
He's, I mean, funny, he's not like, okay, I've seen your friend. Yeah, he's a little overweight. He's also just giant.
Well, he's a football. He's like, it looks like an NFL lineman.
Yeah, he's like an NFL lineman.
Looks like
guy.
A professional NFL lineman. He's that kind of size, 300 something pound, but he's solid.
So I was like asking around, I'm like, you know, anybody that knows, like, you know, pro football players, and where would they go,
right?
So there's, I guess, this place here in El Camino that has a big enough MRI imaging and everything. But anyway, back to the PSA. So he blood clotting, like, kind of happened because of this crazy, I think it was some kind of neck strain that happened in his workout, and like he was like really getting after it intensively. So but the PSA part, I was talking to one of my other friends who's like a physician assistant for a neurologist, and they're saying they see a lot of cases of people coming in getting strokes because of massage guns.
Yep.
And they massage their neck, and I never even considered that as like an option, damaging, you know, artery,
you create
tissue.
Trauma. Mm-hmm. You get trauma in that area. Yeah. It could also happen. Chiropractors have done this too. They don't like to.
Oh, to people?
Yeah. Yeah. They'll do a neck adjustment and cause a, you know, stroke or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard of this.
So, okay, explain.
It's not super common. Everyone's going
to
freak out.
It's not. But like, but to know that that's an option, I think it's, you know, important people know that.
Yeah. You might want to skip the neck part, right?
Yeah. Like, you don't really need to dig in there hard. Like, at least.
I wonder
like,
how
lightly.
Much of it happens due to jiu-jitsu. I mean, we were just choking each other left and right in jiu-jitsu.
I mean, I was doing a lot of neck drills for football too, like just like strength-wise. So
interesting.
Yeah, but I was like,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's from the trauma to the carotid, and so it can cause it.
I mean, that's enough trauma, just that vibration of the gun, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's not common though, right?
Well, maybe look it up. Let's look it up.
I don't know, because he told me he's seen a lot of cases come in for that. For him to say that was interesting.
I was just saying, for the doctor.
How hard are you massaging your neck, dude?
I know, right? Like,
I mean, the fact that the doctor brought it up, that it's common enough to bring it up, is can't, it's got to allude to it's more than 1%, I would think, of the cases, right? Let's look it up, Doug, and see what
so far my friend's doing okay, so just to put that out there, he's recovering.
That's good.
Yeah, so it's very rare.
It is.
I'm pulling up the article right now.
Yeah.
How was Truckee while he's doing that? How was Truckee?
It's called cervical artery dissection.
Yeah.
Where
a tear in the blood vessel wall.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's got to happen in jiu-jitsu for sure. Man, we were cranking each other's necks left and right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But you also are conditioned and adapted to that, right? I mean, obviously it could happen on the day one, but I mean, if you've been doing that for a while, you've
probably more musculature there.
Yeah. But it's probably more common with like a first time person doing something, right?
You know, it's easier to choke someone out who's got a big neck.
Oh yeah.
You know that? If you have a thick neck,
you would think
it would be the opposite.
No, it's easier to put your ass to sleep. Your carotid's right there on your big ass neck.
So it like kind of pushes it out.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. So you got a big neck, someone gets under your chin. Like,
I'm so putting Justin to sleep. Come at me with those ham hocks, or I'll just fucking choke that neck out.
Damn it.
Give him a blanket.
I'm going on my 10 and 2, dude.
Good night, dude. Yeah, you still thinking about jiu-jitsu with me?
I am. I am considering it. Right. I really am. I hate to say it on the podcast because once we do stuff like that, then everybody's like harassing me like crazy. So I'm not officially announcing it, but I do want you to keep me in
the loop. I'm like 90%. So this week is my week back working out, and my whole strategy for the next 30 days or so is to improve mobility and flexibility so that I can go back.
Hey, so. Keith, I'm curious about you and your series right now. It's official now. It's live. It's going. A couple episodes have gone up.
Yep.
I've already watched it. And people are loving it.
Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely love it.
Stoked on response.
And I know
so far.
You typically don't like that stuff, but I felt like, I don't know if you felt the same way I did. I like kind of doing it that way.
It's the format. Yeah. I think it's way more our style. You know, instead of like just like being very specific about the
clickbait
stuff. Yeah, like I'm like trying to like, you know, throw these bullet points at you the whole time.
Yeah.
And like make sure everything's super organized and structured. It's more free flow and I can just kind of riff, which I like it.
How far are you able to talk about how close you are to your goal?
Already?
I know. Like I'm in my second month. So
Have you been improving in strength?
I'm kind of like getting back to almost where I was, you know. So to say like close to like, I mean, I still got probably like 50 something pounds to account for.
That means you're already like 270.
Yeah, I'm close.
Damn.
I'm close on that level, but like that's
great.
It's cool, but it's like I'm still really nervous about it because it feels heavy.
Well, I'm nervous for you because just even though you're not doing a muscle building journey like I am, strength is very similar in this case, and they're related to each other. That your body to get back to where you were before is going to be relatively easy. Like you could, if you said I've PR'd 275, I'm going to get back to that. I felt when you said 315 that you were going to go beyond a PR. That this fucker is so crazy.
I know.
Does he know what he's signing up for? Because you're not. Not only are you,
you have to
put
back
in,
there first.
Yeah, exactly. Not only have to put in all the work to get back there, and it's not to downplay like that. It's easy at all. It's not easy.
But at least you have muscle memory with.
Yeah, but you at least have that working to your in your favor, and your wisdom and maturity and experience, you probably can get there faster today than what you were 15 years ago when you had less knowledge.
Yeah.
So you got that working for you. But then to go beyond that is like, bro, you're crazy. Like now you're really asking the next level. What are you?
Yeah.
You know, obviously I had all the injury challenges. What are your challenges right now documenting this whole process? Have you found any challenges or is everything going smooth?
Yeah. I think for me, if I want to crank up the intensity a bit, like I definitely feel the effects of that the next couple days. And that's somewhat subsided a bit. So I feel like my recovery is getting better. I think that's the part that I've noticed a lot in terms of like, if I do bring the volume up or the intensity up, like I've been able to recover. And then a couple days later I can go at that kind of same intensity, because when the first month I was like, ooh, like it, I'm just gonna do this light workout, you know, following up that, you know, because it was felt a lot more damaging. But I'm like, I'll get the signal and the pain signal and the restriction signal, and then like my left shoulder started to talk to me, and I was like, ooh, that's not good, because before it was always my right shoulder that I would get hit a wall, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna plateau, because like this, I don't feel as stable and secure here to press more. And so it was like my left shoulder, I feel like I'm now have to pay a lot more attention to it. I'm like dancing this fine line of where I'm like right at that threshold of if I do more, I'm gonna be set back. And so I'm right there now where I'm like anything I do, I'm just like literally toeing the line.
I mean, I love that. It's so cool watching yours, because we are stylistically, we're so different, right?
Oh yeah.
So I think it's really cool how you're doing a better job, I would say, of like forecasting what you're gonna be doing and why you're gonna be doing it. I was more like reactive. Today I'm going to do this because of that, right? Mine was very reactive and letting people see how my brain works on the fly, where you had a much more methodical approach of like, these are the things I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And these are the reasons why I'm going to be doing these exercises. So the audience, which is really cool.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Because they asked, I mean, nobody's really asked much about nutrition. And I'm doing a terrible job of like, you know, trying to communicate that briefly, but it's like really not on
Yeah, but
my
you
radar.
you did communicate it. You did it perfect well. You're like, listen, I'm going to hit my boost my protein up. So I'll make sure I hit my protein intake like I'm supposed to. And really for you, it's hitting maintenance or surplus calories. Yeah, yeah. You're trying to get strong.
You're not going it's pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah. It is pretty simple. It's like hit your protein intake, you know, eat mostly whole foods.
Get strong diet is way easier than a get lean.
Of course. There's way more room for error. You're okay if you overeat by 500 calories.
That's actually good.
I thought you communicated that. And then I got to see the stack that Sal put you on.
Oh, yeah.
The peptide
you
stack.
It's bioregulator so far. Yeah.
Is bioregulator different than peptide or is it the same thing?
It's a peptide, but the way a bioregulator works is it's organ specific. So this is how Jay explained it to me. So you'll take like muscle bioregulator. It goes to the muscle. And what it does, it's called a regulator because it optimizes function. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to give you superhuman, you know, it's not going to push your muscle to the superhuman level, but it's going to optimize its function.
It sounds very adaptogen-like.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Correct. What a great analogy.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
I'll try to wrap my brain around that too.
So there's one for cartilage for him, bone marrow. So cartilage, obvious, right, is joints.
Blood
bone
vessel.
Marrow. Bone marrow for, you know, stamina, you know, red blood cell production, blood vessel, pump, nutrient delivery, and muscle. Mm-hmm. So he's on all those.
And then muscle, yeah.
Have you been pretty good about taking them?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Twice a day. So okay. I'll do it before the workout and then later when I get home.
He said to expect to notice a difference 4 weeks in after taking
them. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's getting close to 4 weeks.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So I'm going to.
I almost took them from you.
I'm hoping because, like I said, my recovery, I feel like I'm starting to kind of feel the difference, like the days in between where I'm just doing lighter workouts, like trigger sessions. And it's feeling like it's. Yeah, I'm getting my strength back. So.
Now, because you have a very specific strength goal of a push press. Are you taking away other area? Are you like cooling off on the legs right now? Yeah. Because so I was wondering
That's funny. Yeah. Cause I kind of addressed that so this is month two. And I'm like, this is kind of, you guys are going to see a lot of boring, repetitive, skill type sessions where I'm like really just hammering the push press itself.
Yeah.
And doing that at like 60, 65% intensity. Mm. Yeah, I did duty legs on one workout, no legs. And I was like, oops, forgot legs, you know. I don't need, you know, so I'm not really worried about legs. I'll do it just to kind of keep overall strength.
Yeah.
For people need to understand.
It's cool though.
Yeah, but people need to understand, it's not that someone might be confused. They might hear this and say, it's because you don't need legs, so you're not wasting your time. No. It's because it takes away from your body's ability to adapt to the volume that you need somewhere else.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's why. So you have to be careful with how you manage your total volume.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not like I don't need legs. He needs legs for a push press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he needs.
Yeah. But this is why
I'm allocating that.
This is why these series are so cool. I think. I mean, it's been really interesting, even from my perspective, right? Being a trainer and understanding this, like I still enjoy watching you go to work like this.
Cool.
And so, and I see the comments, everybody is really enjoying it. I hope you're getting ready. Cause I feel like you have to,
they're going to want to follow.
They are because it's just, you know what it's what it's really done. It's done a really cool job of highlighting how different we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just
agreed.
the way
it's
we approach
cool the way you think and how you're processing, you know, what's happening for your journey, the same, like I'm just,
and I'm even, that's why even myself, like I said, I'm enjoying the journey, watching it from your perspective, because it's just like, oh, I wouldn't have thought to do that. Like I like that. Like, you know, and I think that's what people are getting, the takeaway. And hopefully if you're somebody who listens to the show and you, cause I know not everybody likes all of us, hopefully you like all of us and want to see
everybody likes shows.
Maybe that's why it's going so well. Maybe once you go, we'll go see some more hate again.
Low numbers, but they're strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got strong fan base.
That's
like slim.
It's so funny you say that because it's just like, you know, my videos might have got more views on it, but I guarantee I got plenty more haters that are watching just to talk shit, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, your hater. Yeah, the haters just kind of like, not even worth their time.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Yeah, peace out.
All love. That's awesome.
Go to brain.fm/mindpump. Try them out for 30 days for free. Here's what you do. Listen to the sounds that they play for you. The music that they play will change the state of your mind. This was created by scientists. In other words, listen to meditation. Your brain gets into a meditative state. Sleep. Listen to sleep. puts you to sleep. Listen to Focus. You become focused. Don't believe me? Try it out for 30 days. See for yourself. brain.fm/mindpump. All right, back to the show.
Our first caller is Gustavo from Colorado.
Gustavo, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
What's up?
It's an honor to speak to you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. How can we help you out?
Sorry. I'm definitely very nervous. So I recently started a new weight loss journey. I've been pretty big my whole life, and recently it's trying to like get it back under control. So I know you guys say that looking at the scale is one thing, but I really wanted to see as far as like setting PRs and just trying to like set a scale for where I'm at, like strength wise, what would be really good like PR sets to look at overall, just to like generalize like strength growth over like the next year?
Like squat, deadlift, overhead press, yeah, bench press. Like those staples. Are the big ones. Those are the big lifts.
Yeah, and I would even throw in a lift that you feel like you need to work on. You know, something that you're like, okay, I need to practice this lift and kind of monitor that. But you know, the big lifts are kind of great ways to monitor your strength gains. Is that answering your question, or was it something else?
Absolutely. I was just going to ask real quick. So when setting a PR, how does? Because I guess I probably, you know, could have researched it through all your videos, but when setting up a PR, what's the best way to like set a base PR and then move up from there?
There's a couple ways to do this. Now, one way is the traditional one rep max.
Yeah, we could do a multiple rep max.
Yeah, and that's cool, but with when you go for one rep max, there's a higher risk of injury with that.
The easier way is just whatever MAPS program you're following. Let's say you're doing MAPS anabolic in phase one. You know, what weight did you move in, you know, for squats, deadlifts, overhead press, the next time you come back around, so say when you get back to phase one again in MAPS anabolic, what weight are you using now? And that will indicate a PR for you. And without you having to chase like a one rep max, the risk versus reward for someone for a one rep max just isn't there. I mean, if you were competing in powerlifting, that'd be a different story, but you're just trying to get in the best shape of your life. It's not worth it. It's not worth trying to, you know, do a one rep max to find out where you're at. You're far better off just following a program as it's laid out. When you come back around and you're in that same phase again, where are you at? Are you stronger? Are you moving more weight, the same weight, less weight? And if you're moving more weight, you're PRing. You're heading the right direction. That's a better way to approach it.
Okay. So for my next question was, I am currently sitting at a pretty heavy weight, and sadly not much of it is muscle, but I was wondering about like more or less the difficulty of like MAPS 15. I know I can lower the weight as needed or anything, but I have yet to get it. But I was wondering, would it be difficult for someone who hasn't worked out in probably 2 years?
No,
it's a great program.
No, but we have a program. So you haven't worked out in 2 years, but before that you worked out consistently?
Before that I was consistent for about 2 years hitting the gym because I had like a really great schedule and everything.
Okay.
And the reason I was looking at MAPS 15 was I was trying to get back into it, but I'm a truck driver. And so I'm usually out 12, 14 hours a day. And then when I get home, you know, I usually have 2 or 3 hours before I have to go right back to bed. So I saw that you guys talked about how doing two to three workouts instead of sitting for an hour at the gym is just as beneficial if you just do it consistently.
Yeah.
So I started that in December and I've started keeping routine, and I really want to start looking to MAPS 15 because, you know, the 15 minute workouts I feel like would be available for my like schedule.
Perfect.
Oh yeah.
No, that's perfect
for you. Yeah, I love that.
Just watch your technique and form. Go make sure that you perfect the technique. That's the most important thing. That's a great routine to start with. Absolutely.
The only thing I'd add to you that will help this is make a conscious effort to get some walks in as much as you can, right? Because I know a truck driver, you can be sitting down for hours at a time, and trying to make a conscious effort, even if it's just like a little 10, 15 minute walk after you pull over to have lunch or something like that. You can give yourself a 10-minute nice little walk, That's it. And then get back in the truck. Like, try and create some habits like that also with MAP 15. That's the perfect combination for you.
Yeah. And if, do you have a suspension trainer, TRX or anything like that? Because
as far as weights and everything else, I have a set of dumbbells and I'm trying to increase the weight at home. And then, just walking out and going to the park, and that's what I do so far. But I definitely want to go to the gym, try to set some PRs, because I made a bet with a friend, and by the end of the year, the goal is to lose 40 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm down 10 so far from the beginning, but I don't want to just look at the scale. I want to be able to, like, actually see physical strength attributes, and I want to make it stick and not just,
it's a good goal,
something I do for the year.
You can do 40 by the end of the year. What happens if you don't do it?
I have to get a haircut, and my hair is incredibly long right now. So by the end of the year, if I don't lose 40, he gets the opportunity to cut my hair off.
I love it, dude.
That's
I
awesome.
Love these challenges.
Hey, 40 is very doable in a year's time. It's very doable, especially if you go about it what I was just saying, like the MAP 15 and get some walking in.
Do that first blueprint, too. That's why I brought that up, because it will help and be handy for you. You can attach it to your truck. It's simple in terms of like get up and go. So if you want to hit like one quick workout while you're even out on the road, TRX is going to help that quite a bit.
How's your diet?
So I've gone through some of the things because I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years, and I've started this year, or I guess the end of last year, really focusing on like switching how I eat, trying to get my protein and everything, and trying to listen to how I feel, because before then I just kind of, I would eat until I couldn't eat no more. But trying to focus on like getting protein and not overstuffing my face.
Okay. All right. I mean, just start with hitting protein targets. Don't eat processed foods. Those two things right there, if you're consistent, we'll probably get the 40 pounds off you without having to do anything else.
I'll have Doug send over MAPS 15, because I don't think you have it yet, right?
No. I was gonna get that one. And then I also I saw that you guys had like a beginner's program with the Intuitive Nutrition Guide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna get that one as well, because I've listened to you guys for a couple of years, and I really love everything that you had to say. I fell off of working out because I was doing the gym for about an hour. I got into it and I got consistent, but then I switched jobs, and then just finding time to work out, that's what really kind of like ended that whole workout session.
Yeah. So MAPS 15 would be perfect. Yeah. Follow the two things I said with nutrition, no processed food, try to hit protein targets. So what's your perfect body weight, do you think, for you?
So I've talked to a couple people, and they said that a healthy body weight for me would be 220.
Okay.
And would be still a little bit on the pudgy side, but I'm just, I think that even then that seems like it would be hard to hit.
Hit 200 grams of protein a day, 200 grams of protein a day, and don't eat processed food. Eat the protein first. That'll take you really far by itself.
Okay. And then, so as I'm trying to progress in this journey, how would you guys go about focusing on not paying attention to the scale? Because I said in the beginning, I do want to focus on like the strength gains and how I feel overall, and not just on the scale. But at this point, it's...
But you got a goal of 40 pounds. So here's what you do.
Yep.
Looking at your strength while you're working out, you'll see that. Mm-hmm. Hit 200 grams of protein a day. Don't eat processed foods. Weigh yourself once a month. Not every week, because you're going to get fluctuations every week, but every month. So once a month, weigh yourself and see where you're at.
Okay. And then, so when setting a PR, would you recommend like five sets of the heaviest that I can get within five sets?
You know, and, if your goal is strength, fat loss, feeling good, I'm going to steer you away from trying to chase a PR. Just get stronger.
It's momentum.
It's going to happen, bro. It's going to happen. It'll happen naturally. If you focus on the things that Sal's saying with the protein, no processed food, and just be consistent with your workouts, the PRs will come.
Yeah.
They'll just come. And what will happen is as you get back to phase one of MAPS 15 and you're doing an exercise that you did just 2 months ago, you're going to see you're going to be stronger. So yeah. you'll be hitting PRs.
Yeah. I don't chase PRs, but you'll see that you're stronger. It's good to get stronger. That's great. But chasing a PR at this point, I don't think is a good idea.
Okay. All right. So just change my mindset on totally. Focus.
Yes.
You got it.
Yep.
Hey, I just want to say thank you guys. I appreciate all you guys do and all the information you put out. It's incredibly valuable and you know, you guys make it funny. So thank you guys for what you do.
Good luck. Appreciate it, brother.
Good luck, brother.
Thank you, man.
Bye.
You know, I think people can often have a tough time believing that just doing those two things will have a big enough impact. Like, why, you know, because I could tell he's like, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to do?
Yeah. I mean,
it's just consistency with those two things.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Because that's hard enough. That's hard enough to consistently hit your protein intake. Avoiding processed foods is a challenge and a half.
That's right.
For 99% of the population. So, and that does so much. So instead of thinking all these other things he could do, it's like you just focus on that. And this is where I like the strategy I always had was I'm going to try and string as many of these perfect days as I can of hitting my protein intake, no processed food. The inevitable happens day 12. Rough day. Okay, cool. New goal is 13 days or more.
That's right.
And then I just keep playing that game of I can do more days in a row. I can do more days in a row. And then when you pull back 6 months later, you've strung quite a few of these 20-day, 30-day runs at perfect eating and hitting your protein intake and showing up to the gym, and you'll be blown away at what you see.
Our next caller is Sam from France.
What's up, Sam?
What's going on, Sam?
What's happening, dude?
Well, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're good. How are you doing?
Very good. So I'll jump straight into it. I had a question. I was on about a year ago about my squats mechanics, and it's somewhat related to that. So I had a question whether it would be wiser to focus on unilateral training, so like lunges and split squats, rather than just doing bilateral squats, because I feel like my squats really aren't there yet. So when I watch Justin or Adam squat on or other experienced lifters on YouTube squatting, it's like really pretty. And mine aren't so great, even though I had a lot of help from the forum that criticized my form and all. But I feel like maybe it would be wiser to just focus on lunges or even for rowing or things like that, because I can see my body moving maybe on a side rather than the other. Maybe for rowing, one of my scapula can't retract as well as the other. So I just wanted to know what you guys take on this was.
So Sam, it depends on what the issue is. Now, what you said with your upper body, yes. So if you notice your one scapula is not retracting like the other,
then affect
unilateral training will be good for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to your squat, it depends on what the issue is with your squat. If there's an asymmetrical shift, if you notice one knee caving, if you notice pain on one side, unilateral training, a season of that is a good idea. If it's just that your squat isn't good generally, then practicing the squat is the best thing you can do. So it really does depend on what the issue is. So what are you noticing with your squat? What's the issue with the squat?
It's like really my ankle mobility is really not that great. So what I meant with that is not that I find one side of my lower body is more developed or stronger necessarily, but more like that I can get a fuller range of motion with lunges and burger and split squats and all that stuff. So with squats, I have to stop before. If I stop before my butt wings, then it's like a little bit lower than power. But I feel like it's not the... I'm not getting the best results from the squat.
Oh, Sam, that's not bad.
It's not. It's never a bad idea, though, to do unilateral work. It's never a bad idea. It's always that's always a great strategy. I think everybody should run a training block every year with a pure unilateral training block. But to Sal's point, if we don't practice the squat, we're not going to get good at it. Like you're doing a lot. So if the goal is you want to get good at it, well, then we also want to continue to kind of work on that. Again, you could take a break from it for a little while and go to some unilateral work. But then when you come back, we'll probably still have those same challenges if we're not doing the mobility work for your ankles and we're not practicing the squat. So it depends on the goal. I mean, what you want.
How long have you been squatting for?
Like 2 years.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Below 90 with good form is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. But ass to grass is a great goal. Very difficult. It takes a long time for some people, but below parallel with good technique is good. So work on ankle mobility, spend 10 minutes on like combat stretch before you get into your squat, and then continue to practice your squat and challenge it incrementally. So one way you can do this, by the way, is you can get down to below 90 where you notice right before your form breaks down and pause there, hold your position there, challenge your ankle mobility, tighten your muscles up. So stop at that bottom position for 4 seconds and then come up. That'll help you little by little get better depth.
Yeah, if you do end up doing a block of unilateral training, that would be the move, is really to go through those movements very, very slowly and hold those positions, because it's going to stress that instability quite a bit. And you're going to notice a difference from one side to the other, which in effect is going to go ahead and strengthen. And what you're doing with mobility moves, you're actually also going to be able to accomplish strength wise with unilateral training. So, you know, it's going to be worth your while to at least go through a stint of that.
Sam, do you have a map symmetry yet?
Yeah, I do. I run it like maybe a year ago.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Once a year.
You'll feel the solid, sturdy, foundation that you're going to have going into bilateral again, for sure.
And then would you advise to add some days of just practicing squatting? So, for example, right now I'm running anabolic advanced for the second time, and there are days where you don't lift as heavy or you don't squat. And maybe I thought maybe you could add like just an hour of squatting for like 2 days of a week, or maybe 1 day a week.
No, too much. You know what you do is on your just in your regular day, get into a squat position with your body weight and challenge your ankle mobility, and that's it. So no resistance, just your body weight. Wake up in the morning,
learn to sit comfortably and rest in that position.
Up in the morning, practice for 5 minutes. Later in the afternoon, practice for 5 minutes. In the evening, practice for 5 minutes. Little ankle mobility, little practicing body weight squat. That's it.
It's just so challenging the ankles. It feels like it's just stuck and it's not gonna move.
Yeah,
totally. So,
that's a tough one for most people.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
That's right.
I'll keep working on it. Okay, and then I had a follow up. I really track like everything I eat, and I realized that in the past few months my nutrition has shifted from a higher fat to higher carb. So it's like only whole foods, so potatoes and rice, but it's like 300 to 500 grams of carbs and sometimes 100 grams of sugar. So I just wanted to know what you guys thought about, would this macro breakdown be detrimental for my long-term health, or is this a part of, I have to choose between performing and health, because I don't know how good this could be for my body.
Yeah. If you're eating whole foods, I'm assuming that means the sugar is coming from things like fruit.
It's fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, bro, you're fine, dude.
And here's
especially if you like that and you feel good on that.
Yeah, here's the other thing too. Like you have performance and then you have longevity, or health. Mm. There's crossover in between them. The more extreme you go in performance, the further you start to move away from longevity. The further you move towards longevity, the more you move away from performance. What's the main difference? The main difference, there's a few differences, but the main difference is total amount. Performance tends to require more calories, more protein, more carbohydrates, more fats. Longevity tends to require less. That being said, you look like a young guy. You're training regularly. If you're exercising regularly and you're lean, you're fine.
Yeah,
you're totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other part. I come from a place of like being a little chubbier, and then I realized that I could use nutrition to become leaner, and I became a little bit addicted to that. And then I always feel when I try to gain muscle and I use the scale and take measurements to see if I'm doing the right things. When it goes a little bit north, then a little up on the scale or anything, then I always feel like I'm going back to this old me, and it's like difficult for me to stay consistent, because I do stay consistent, but it's difficult to keep the course and try to gain weight, try to gain good weight, because when I do eat this way, it's gonna happen. I'm gonna gain a few pounds, and I always feel like it's fat and it's not lean mass. Yeah. So yeah, it's.
You wanna know what you gotta do? You gotta stop weighing yourself for a little while, and you gotta stop stop tracking and stop weighing yourself for a little while, and go a couple months where you're just kind of eyeballing it, you know, where you're estimating. You gotta get away from that a little bit. I can already tell with your consistency, your age, the way you're talking about it, that you're going to start veering into the obsession if you're not already there. So I would stop tracking, stop weighing yourself. It's okay to go to the gym, look at your strength, and then try to estimate. Just estimate. This looks about right. This looks about right. And stay there for a couple months. Is that scary?
It is a little, but you know, I heard this message and I thought maybe why not try it. But when I thought about it, I thought maybe sure it's a good idea for my long term health. But then if I don't perform at the gym, is it because I didn't sleep well, or I didn't track this, or I didn't eat enough proteins or carbs or maybe enough water? If I don't track in everything, I can't really know what's the issue.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good.
You'll start feeling your way through that.
Yeah.
Sam, how old are you?
I just turned 20.
You got to get away from what you're doing. Stop tracking, stop weighing yourself, go to the gym, enjoy yourself, estimate things. You can go back to it, but take a couple months of this strategy. Because you're watching it with a microscope. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is you're taking something that's healthy that can take stress away. It is now becoming a stress. You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you this. Does your family say you're obsessed?
They don't say that. They say I'm disciplined and consistent. Oh, but okay. Sure, it's the same thing. So,
yeah, stop weighing and tracking for just 60 days. Do that.
60 days.
Yeah,
I can do that for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
You want to get back on the show in 60 days? We'll follow up with you.
Sure.
All right. Let's see what happens.
We're watching you, Sam.
Experiment.
Thank you.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you in 60 days, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right.
Have a good day, guys.
See you too.
Later, buddy.
He's a good kid.
Do you notice when he talked about the perfect squat, he referred to Justin and I?
Yeah. Of course.
I did notice that.
But he didn't say perfect, though.
Oh, he did.
He said beautiful.
No. He said pretty. Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys have a pretty squat, well, I mean,
we're really listening.
That's real pretty, guys.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, I mean, I'm glad I don't have a pretty squat. He's overthinking everything.
Pretty awesome. Oh, yeah. So I want to know how old he was. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, I could see.
20 years old, man. Eat whole foods, hit your protein intake, lift weights consistently. For the next 5 years, you're going to build muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're cool, bro.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. It's just going to happen.
Eat when you're hungry. Just keep lifting.
Be consistent. Yeah. Hit those things. Like, you're going
to
be fine.
It's so funny how it's so funny how some people, you got to push them to track, and other people, like, stop tracking.
Yeah.
It just goes to show the individual variance can be so wild.
Totally different personalities.
Absolutely.
Our next caller is Kimberly from Louisiana.
Kimberly, what's happening?
Hi, Kimberly.
Open up the screen.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited to be here. I started watching y'all's show a few months back, been watching it more and more, and y'all have been helping me out. So I appreciate it, and I appreciate being here today.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming. How can we help you?
Great.
So I have two questions. My first question relates to body mechanics. I am not a tall person. I'm about 5'3", but apparently I have a relatively long torso. I only know this because a doctor told me a few years back prior to getting boobs. Said I had a relatively long torso. I'm wondering if that is affecting how I feel doing certain exercises, especially like squats and the like. I'm trying to take the advice in meant for short people, but it occurred to me recently that maybe I should be incorporating advice meant for tall people. Maybe it was different for me. Is my theory off based? What do y'all think?
You're not off based. When you squat, do you feel like your chest falls forward a lot? How do you feel when you squat?
I've been really working to try not to let it fall forward. I think I'm doing better with that, but it just all of it feels awkward.
Well,
from my knees up to my shoulders, it just feels like I'm not doing something right. And I'm using the Smith machine mostly. I don't know.
How long have you been lifting weights, Kimberly?
Off and on for about a year and a half, mostly on.
Okay, that's good.
But I've been more and more consistent over the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. So limb length is something to consider. Usually when it's extreme, not like, so if you fall within the, like if you have like a really long torso where it's like, man, you know, like Michael Phelps, you know, or, you know, Michael Phelps is like, what is he, 6'5", and he's got like legs like someone's 5'9". Then you like really need to consider that. But there are far more things that are important, more important
ankle,
to consider.
Mobility.
Yeah, so I'd have people, first off, generally speaking, long torso is beneficial to most lifts. And you'll see this with bodybuilders, you'll see this with power lifters, except for maybe in the deadlift. So generally speaking, you know, you should be able to squat easier and press easier and all that stuff. But there's a lot of things that you also have to consider, like mobility, ankle, hip mobility, stability, strength, how well your muscles lengthen and contract, how well they work together, that, you know, where limb length is like, that's the last thing when I'm training someone, the last thing I would consider is limb length, unless it's really extreme. And in 99.9% of the time, it's the opposite. It's when I see somebody with really long legs and long femurs.
Like a basketball player.
Yeah, then I'm like, okay, yeah, we got to look at squats and maybe modify and stuff like that. But I wouldn't worry too much about that. You know, I would look at your squat and you're like, okay, I feel it here. Maybe I need to work on ankle mobility or I have some pain in my SI joint. The other thing I would say is get away from the Smith machine.
Yeah.
For squats.
Okay.
Yeah, use free weight squats because that's not really a squat. You're kind of doing a hack squat, which is okay.
Okay.
But you want to use
a fixed track. You want independent.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd rather see you do half the weight free weight than to put more weight on the Smith machine.
That's right.
Be far better off. You get more benefit from the free weight than you will the Smith machine. There's an instability component when you have free weight. You know, Michael, if it is a long torso thing, sometimes what will feel a lot better is a low bar squat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we could do. I also have, I'm going to have Doug put you in the private forum because we could for sure solve this if we watch you squat. Yeah. So if I'm going to have him put you in the forum. This is how people use the forum a lot, is they'll video their exercise and then ask for feedback from us and the other coach. There's a lot of coaches and trainers in there also that will give great advice. And then we'll get to the bottom of it. Cause right now we're kind of trying to guess, oh, well maybe this, oh, maybe that. Yeah. It's like, if we see you squat, we'll be able to tell you exactly.
You might be able to do some of it now, even though you have a barbell. If you could, I don't know what you're using right now to record yourself, but if you could move the phone or whatever back, do a body weight squat, we might be able to see what's a little bit of what's happening.
We can try. Okay. I am using my phone.
The only thing is your shoulder mobility, but I'd like to check.
Well, yeah, that's not a barbell, right? But I don't know if we could do this with you holding it like that. We'll give it a shot. We need to see your lower body, though.
Do you want me to front face it? It doesn't matter.
Side. Let's do side face. Know. And are you able to prop your phone up on something so we can see your...
No, I don't have anything to prop it up.
We're going
to
put you in the forum.
Yeah, let's do the forum.
We're going to put you in the forum, and then we'll get you all set up to do a recording on there, and the guys and I will for sure solve it.
Yeah,
so
that's
this is a very, very
love
solvable.
It
could be a handful of different things.
Question.
Yeah, what's the other one?
I appreciate it. Okay, so I would really like to move towards competing at some point. I mean, I'm not to that level yet. I'm wondering if that's just a pipe dream for me. I'm a single mom. I am a nurse and I work day shifts. I am so exhausted by day two or three of my work shifts. I will still get up and go to the gym before I go to work some days. Literally, I like was like falling asleep between sets the last time I went to the gym. It's not usually that bad. But I'll then have a few days off when I'm not working where I can go to the gym more consistently, more regularly, and I'll get back into it. I guess, do y'all think it's a pipe dream for me to actually compete and I should just work on, you know, staying healthy, doing what I can more hobby-like? I mean, it's going to be a hobby, basically.
Can I ask what draws you to it? Like what makes you want to do it? Just out of curiosity.
Just for the fun of challenging myself, seeing what I can do. The grind. I guess that's it. Just challenging myself.
You could totally do it, Kimberly. You look like you have good genetics. I think you probably have the work ethic. I don't think you should do it though. Hmm. I think what you're going to find doing it by being a mom, being a nurse, trying to stay healthy, what you're going to find is body image issues. Yeah, body image issues are going to skyrocket. That just happens to everybody. You're getting on stage. People are looking at you, studying you. You're going to sacrifice time.
It's more demanding than you
Yes,
realize.
Dude. You're going to sacrifice time with your family. And the reward you'll get from it is actually so much less than what you're going to put out. And it's probably going to mess up your hormones. I don't know a single woman.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. Rarely does a woman do a competition and not come out with destroyed hormones.
You can get yourself to that level, like, you know, aesthetically and your physique wise.
Yeah.
You don't have to step on a stage.
There's nothing healthy about it.
I would rather see that, right? I'd rather you consider hiring a trainer to take you to that level of a physique for the, because I respect the, I want the challenge. Let's see how far I can take this goal. But hiring a trainer to take you to that, like I would totally do that with you if you were a client of mine. I'd say, let's do it. Let's get ready for it. We don't necessarily have to get up on stage. We can, but we could set the goal of let's get yourself in bikini, you know, competitive shape and let me take you. Cause what's great about that is if I'm coaching you through that process, as we're going through, we're communicating on a regular basis. And if I see something
still there.
That is not healthy or not good, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be like, you know what, as much as I know you want to keep pushing right here, Kimberly, you've had a crazy work week. You got a lot of stuff going on right now. We're going to scale back a little bit. That's the right thing to do right now. And what happens when you set a date to get on stage, that goes out the window. Cause you have to present. So you start to ignore things that are really important to be aware of as you're trying to not only get in shape, but also stay healthy and also take care of a kid and run a career and all the things you got going on. So I totally like the idea of, you know, I don't know if you can do that or not, or hire a trainer. We have trainers here that can take you through that, where they could take you through that process. And then again, they'll always keep your health as the number one focus. And so if they feel that, hey, all these signs are pointing that we need to scale back, they'll scale you back. And then they'll get you going again when you feel good again. Versus, hey, in July 7th, we have a show.
Compromise. Yeah.
We have, you know, there's no flexibility around that really. And it's like and what ends up happening with my bikini competitors is that they end up at all cost pushing their bodies just to get on stage for a minute to look this way for a second. And then along the way, the things that Sal said, hormones crash and they get all this other issues.
It sucks.
Yeah. It's not a healthy pursuit, but we could definitely, you know, I mean, I could totally take you to a level of like you've never seen before and we could do that. And we could do that pretty healthy.
Yeah.
We don't have to get,
love that advice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have somebody call you. We have some coaches that we trust.
That's on point.
Okay. Cool. I like
and very
that.
Insightful and eye-opening. I hadn't considered all of that. So thank you. I'm excited about investigating further. I'm definitely interested in the idea. I've thought about getting a personal trainer. So I'm I'm excited about seeing what more I can do there.
You know, so, we could do even just to make this fun, because I think there's a part of you that likes the competition aspect of it. Let's have, if you end up working with one of our coaches, because we trust them. The problem with coaches is some of them are not great. So we have someone that we really trust. Why don't we have you back on in 90 days and let's talk about your progress. So now you have a little bit of a goal. We also trust that they're not going to make you do anything unhealthy. Yeah. And let's see what happens.
That is very exciting. Yeah. I love that so much. Thank you guys for all of this. I'm looking forward to seeing y'all in 90 days.
All right.
All right.
Kimberly. Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
Excited for you.
Thank y'all.
You got it. Hey. Bye-bye. Good. I'm glad we were able to help her out. Man, you know, competing is probably one of the most unhealthy things you could do.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad she asked us before trying.
Totally.
Yeah, because listen, crushing your hormones as a woman, especially, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And then it takes months of taking time off,
repairing it,
and feeding your body. Oh, God, it's a nightmare. I mean, so, especially if you're a nurse,
single
plus
mom
a
nurse.
Yeah, you got so much already going on.
Nurses are already tough to help out because
that's a high stress job.
Yeah, high stress, the work schedule and hours. And so that already presents enough. But we can, you can totally, and I used to, when I was documenting that process, I was communicating to people as I was going through that, hey, by no means do I think that competing is healthy, but I'm going to stay healthy relatively most through the whole process till towards the end. You can get really far.
The last bit you ramp up.
Yeah. You can get really far without crossing that.
But
that line.
I will add this gives a little context, Adam. There's a couple things too. You were not a single dad.
Yeah.
And that was, at that time, that was what you did.
That's
that
all
was your job.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%.
Could you imagine being a single dad, having
way.
A stressful job? No, it's like, oh.
And that's why we don't recommend it for most people. It's just but I respect the, hey, I want to set a goal.
That's right.
And
that's
do
right.
something.
That's why I said come back to sport.
So, it is what it is.
We'll have Kyle call her and see what's up.
Our next caller is Katie from Texas.
Hi, Katie.
How you doing, Katie?
How can we help you?
How are you?
How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Well, thank you.
What's your question?
So I was get straight into it. When I squat, it hurts. I'm good up to I can do the bar. I can do all 20 reps in anabolic for the pre-phase. But then when I get to going up in reps, I can do more reps, but I can't do any more weight because it hurts me to do more.
Okay.
Where do you hurt?
My low back, my hips.
Okay.
What are some suggestions?
Yeah. How long have you been working out for?
Off and on for 20 years, but recently just the last year or two, seriously.
Okay. So, and what have you been doing for that year or two period? How long have you been strength training? Mm-hmm.
Strength training, 6 months, and I've just took 3 weeks off. I've done half of the I made it halfway through anabolic once, and then something came up, my dad had surgery and I had to fly to Michigan. So
okay. You know, we might want to move to a unilateral style of training for a little while.
Yeah.
Just to get things balanced out.
There, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to balance things out. Do you have map symmetry? Because we could send that to you.
I do not have map symmetry.
All right, let me send that to you.
The next purchase.
and now the other thing you can, now you'll get that. Okay, so you'll have it. Here's the other thing you can do. You can stay in pre-phase of anabolic forever. Uh-huh. You can stay in there a long time until you get really good at those lifts before moving through phase 1, 2, and 3. So pre-phase says, 3-4 weeks. But stay in there if you need to, for as long as you need to get good at those exercises.
Katie, I'm also going to have Doug set you up in the private forum also.
Okay, thank you.
This way we can keep an eye on you and help you out so you don't have to wait for a phone call the next time you've got a question about either the programming or something you feel or you notice.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, the boys and I can help you through that. I definitely think map symmetry is a good choice for now. That'll help out.
Okay.
And then when you get back to squatting, let us know how you feel. You could even do a video of you doing the movement so we can see it. And then we can give you good advice from there. We'll be able to tell you need to work on some hip mobility or there's ankle stuff you got to work on. And we can actually prescribe what you should be doing to alleviate any sort of low back pain or hip pain you're feeling.
Okay, yeah, because I was a couple of years ago, I think a chiropractor told me that I had like a herniated disc. I don't remember which one. But.
Okay.
But my whole goal is to lose the weight so I don't have to deal with this pain.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah, so follow either Symmetry or stay in pre-phase, but we'll send you Symmetry so you'll at least have it.
Yeah, I like awesome. You doing Symmetry. And then Katie, just check in with us, okay? Just check in every
thank you.
Yeah, 30, 60 days. Let us know how you're going and how you're feeling. Any questions, just let us know and we'll help you through this.
I will. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. I love watching you guys. I watch like almost every episode.
Oh, that's great. Right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the support, Katie.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Pre-phase is in there to get you ready for the rest. And if you're not ready for the rest, you just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep going in pre-phase. I had clients
keep
that I
practicing
trained
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I had clients that I trained in a pre-phase style of training for a year before I moved them to a phase one, you know, low rep style of training.
Yeah. Unilateral work will be really good for her right now. And then, you know, this is the second person today that we've had this. I mean, to me, this is one of the most valuable parts of the forum, I'd say. Obviously, yeah. It's got a lot of other values too, but. You know, when you're questioning your mechanics on an exercise, it doesn't feel right. Like, yeah. I mean, this is how we use it. There's all kinds, besides us, there's all kinds of other great coaches and leaders that are in there. You have Dr. Brink in there. You have Jordan Shallow in there.
Yep.
A ton of other really educated trainers. And so you use that forum to post up a video of you squatting, deadlifting or that, and we'll get to the bottom of it. Like if I can see this lady squat, if I can see Katie squat, I'll be able to tell her what she needs to do. Right now, we're just guessing. Oh, right. This could help or try that. But you get in there.
Hips, is it ankles? Yeah. T-spine mobility. You know, it could be any of the above.
Yeah. So get in there. Use that form for that. I think it's probably the most valuable or one of the most valuable things about it.
That's right. Look, if you like the show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano. Adam's at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Study nursing, healthcare, or business online with West Coast University. Their Master of Science in Nursing program has 6 specialization options, from family practice to nursing education and adult care. They also offer MBAs and MHAs with several different tracks to choose from. Your future is just a click away at West Coast University. Find out more at westcoastuniversity.edu. WCU cannot guarantee employment.
Spring break road trip? Let's go! But first, drive into Valvoline Instant Oil Change for an always quick but never rushed quality oil change. Our expert technicians use premium Valvoline products for top-notch vehicle care. We also perform an 18-point maintenance check, so your vehicle gets that extra care it deserves. Go to VIOC.com for money-saving coupons and to find a location near you. That's VIOC.com. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. We'll get you back on the road in no time.